Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Off Air, the podcast. With Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
Keep your cheese in the sink.
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh, no.
I don't,
yes.
How would that go in the booth?
Badly. It would go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.
Hi, this is Esther, and this is just to let you know that we recorded this podcast on Wednesday, which was a full day before Liz Truss resigned. But don't worry, there's plenty of fun stuff to enjoy, so stay with us, and thank you for listening. There is a story today, it's in The Guardian, because I bought The Guardian this morning.
I assumed it was a mistake.
No, I did it on purpose.
Sometimes the newsagent who is... empowered to, theoretically, to send us the Daily Mail every day because we get the Times directly from the subscription. The one who is tasked with sending the mail. Sometimes in the morning I come to, oh, the mail. Just quickly go through the mail for some fun. So I just open the door and The Guardian is sitting on the doorstep and I think it's like a practical joke.
They're
from the
trolling paper
boy. Because on both sides, I imagine the rest of the neighbours take The Guardian and there's this thing, this great splat of turdulous leftist negativity. And I go...
I love our next door neighbours who are two very left-wing lawyers. I would love it if they got our Daily Mail.
Yeah. What the hell is this?
Right, so there's a story on page 3 of The Guardian and The Mail have also done it on page 5. The headline is Take the Next Exit for Disappointment. Hearts Head Morse East is voted Britain's worst service station. And I just wanted to give a shout out to the best service station, in my view, which is the Chippenham Pit Stop. And they're also listeners. So I wanted to say hi, everyone, at the Chippenham Pit Stop. Well done for not being the worst service station in Britain, but for being the best service station in Britain,
but we've
in
never
my
been
view.
To the Chippenham Pit Stop.
Yes, we have.
No. Have we? When?
Yes.
I've never
on the
been
way
to Chippenham.
Yeah. God. Don't you remember... one of the kids had a massive nosebleed. Kitty had a massive nosebleed and we stopped and charged up the car and went in and there was that lovely fellow who said...
Oh, is that the Chippenham? Is that him?
Yes.
Oh, and they've got about 700 electric car chargers.
They've got 700 electric car chargers. They've got a little living room where you can where CBeebies is always playing.
And the books on the in the library.
And books in the library.
And freshly made food.
And food and yummy donuts and a co-op.
And the lovely boy is doing like astrophysics at Bath University or something, or Oxford even.
And he's a listener.
He's a listener and his mum listens. And when we went to fill up with electricity, because it takes about a day, he called his mum. She came down to say hi. Didn't give us any free electricity. Oh, hooray, how lovely.
Any other housekeeping?
Housekeeping, should we reveal where we are?
Let's reveal where we have been shoved to.
It's the Giles Corran Has No Idea roadshow is brought to you this week. Having had 2 weeks presented to you from Fitzrovia, which just is a bit of a hassle. And we have to do a school run, then get to Fitzrovia. I've got to do my panel thing on Times Radio. You've got to get back for either for a site meeting for the house or your shrink, which is at noon, correct?
Yep.
I don't know what you'll have left to say to him after talking to me for an hour. So we're up here in Kitty's room by her with the cat, and here we are.
Yeah.
Because the builders are making so much noise.
They're making so much noise.
Even you're going mad.
I'm going mad.
Not just me.
I've completely lost it. I've completely lost my shit. And our builders are absolutely delightful. They're so nice. They're so polite. They're so quick. They're so tidy. But they're using that gun at the moment, the one that goes... I don't know what they're doing. I think they're making a stud wall. And it's like they're drilling directly into my head. I think I may have said that before. Do you want to talk about James Corden thing, restaurants? Or not really? You thought you might do this for your column.
Yeah, so the James Corden story, has it blown out? We all saw the story.
Okay, let's go through what the story is.
Go on then.
So I think it was, so let me say, Monday night, where are we? We're on Wednesday. Da, 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 da. So basically,
because
something happened on Monday. So I think it was over the weekend. So I think over the weekend, Keith McNally, who is the owner of Balthazar, which is a very sort of a celebrity haunt in New York.
Which I went to in 1999 and I sat. It had been open a couple of years and someone got me a table there and thought this is a great place to be and I thought this is shit. And then Scott Thomas sat on one side and then Monica Lewinsky came in and sat on the other side.
Oh, wow.
Really exciting.
That is exciting. So Keith McNally owns Balthazar. He wrote a long Instagram post about how badly behaved he had heard James Corden had been in Balthazar and another restaurant he owns, the name of which now escapes me. And in one incident, he claimed, because we weren't there, we don't know, he claimed that James Corden found a hair in his food, which occasionally happens in restaurants. It's, you know. I always find hair in my food and pee in my soup.
I've always rather pompously said, a bit like Oscar Wilde and the parents thing, like one hair. The wild line would be to find one hair in one soup. Well, he would say it's the wrong way around, isn't it? Oscar Wilde said to lose one parent, it could be considered a tragedy. To lose two is careless. Mm-hmm. It's the other way around with a hair in your food.
Right.
You find one hair in your food, and it could be anywhere. It's a sign of carelessness. Find two hairs. Find a hair in your soup and then a hair on your steak, and the kitchen has a fucking problem.
Yes, absolutely.
But Corden found one hair.
He found one hair in his food, which
and
is
he absolutely kicked off the shit, according to Keith McNally, guess according to the waiter who told Keith McNally, who hasn't denied it.
And also, by the way, Keith McNally wasn't there either, and he never says he was. He was just saying, I'm uploading these reports from, I think it's from his bar manager. And I presumably.
But he kicked off and he said, right, I want free drinks. In fact, I want all my back drinks free, which is weird because the only thing Corden has, if not a shred of decency, is money. It's weird that it's so important to get free drinks when you earn 20 million a year or whatever he does.
I read it was 36. But anyway,
million
whatever.
A year?
Yeah. Oh, but
fuck
I just
off.
Read that. Who knows?
Really?
I don't know.
It doesn't put you on his side to begin with, does it? But then you get into this whole house. Because he really kicked off and shouted, you're shit at your job. And then there was an issue with an omelette. It's too boring to go into details. There was an issue with an omelette with his...
I think the details are quite interesting.
Okay,
actually.
Tell me about his wife's
omelette. The next incident.
You went back to this restaurant.
I think this was a separate restaurant. So the first incident with the hair was not in Balthazar, but it was in a place that Keith McNally owned as well. The second incident, which was this month, which is what prompted him to write the Instagram post, is he went to Balthazar with his wife. His wife ordered an egg yolk omelette with a salad, with a side salad, not home fries. She wanted the side salad. And it arrived and had a little bit of egg white in it. And she said, I don't want this egg white in here. I just want the yolk. So they took it away. They brought it back. The omelette was fine, but it was served with home fries instead of her
salad. And he kicked off, I should go in the kitchen and cook my
You can't do your
breaking
job.
This down,
do it, yeah.
Breaking this down, the grotesque celebrity entitlement. First of all, what is an egg yolk omelette? That's not a thing. Egg white omelettes were once a thing for people who wanted protein but no cholesterol. So they didn't want fat. But an egg white omelette, an egg yolk omelette isn't a thing. I don't know how it would hold together. A tiny fleck of white. How you can possibly send it back. There's nothing you could object to in the egg white. So that's just showing off.
Okay. Well, we have to point out here that we weren't there. We don't know. And neither was Keith McNally. He's just, this is like third hand information.
And they're also too, I mean, Keith McNally is completely mad. And he's endlessly she glances at Ben. And Ben giggles. It's in my opinion, he's completely mad. He's completely mad. I'm using it. Not. I'm not saying he's like, clinically insane, if I'm not allowed to.
He did refer
I'm
to
I'm just his, saying he's like fucking mad. He's I, mad. It's I, like saying Gordon Ramsay's mad. Marco Pierre White's mad. Giles Corran's mad. Keith McNally is mad. Yeah. And he's got these vendettas.
But Giles Corran really is mad, though. That's
libelous.
Is it?
If no, you say, really,
it, no, it isn't.
You're the one who's going to your shrink in an hour.
Yeah, I never said I was sane.
So Keith McNally has a massive vendetta with another restaurant critic who's a friend of mine. He was actually, I gave him a really, really shit review and he was reasonably magnanimous about it.
Mm-hmm. I think he's got a perfectly all right sense of
But he has massive...
Himself. He refers to himself as a deadbeat.
Well, if he says so. He's got this restaurant in London, which is absolutely awful.
Okay, no, listen. Let's try and stay on the point. Okay, so this is the thing that happened. He wrote this long Instagram post. It really blew up because everybody is just gunning for James Corden at the moment. I don't know, but people are so desperate to just sort of bring him down. There was that thing where there was a tiny rumor, probably not even true, that he was going to be in the London cast of Wicked, the musical, which is a very popular musical. And there was it
yes,
in London.
Right, 100,000 people went online to say we can't have him
in
this thing.
And he didn't even say he was going to do it. And it's just like, my God. And everyone's so gleeful about it.
Also,
like,
he was in
God.
That cat film.
He was in the terrible cat.
And other people like Taylor Swift have sort of survived.
Yes, they just sort of, that people are just sort of completely deranged about James Corden. And personally, I think it's a
but
bit
also,
unfair.
Even if they weren't, people love a story about celebrities behaving badly in restaurants or people behaving badly in restaurants. It is seen as a marker of awfulness. Now, Keith McNally has late at night in a sort of text fizz, he's gone on and he's Instagram posted about this. It's not an attempt to get publicity, is it? If you look back to Gordon Ramsay throwing Adrian Gill and Joan Collins out of his restaurant in about 1996.
But he marched them to the door.
It was the making of both Ramsay and A.A. Gill.
And, well, Joan Collins.
Joan Collins was fine. She was all right. She's absolutely been absolutely fine.
Yeah, she's doing the Diary and the Spectator. She's fine.
She's absolutely
she's
fine.
She's good.
But that it was the making, because of a Bruegus, but a row between these two, suddenly it showed Gill to be somebody that you cared about, and it made him, he suddenly became the critic who was thrown out by Ramsay. Ramsay got this reputation and a giant career.
Mm-hmm.
So so McNally's obviously saying we can have some fun here.
People
said about me, so we know this.
I've been doing restaurants with you for a really long time, and I've never seen you being
there are the people who don't like me on Twitter and everywhere else. Endlessly, one of the things they do, endless stories they make up about he was rude to a waiter, he didn't tip, he was vile, he demanded this, he shouted that, and like the one place I behave well, because I'm a total shite hawk everywhere else in the world, my own home, my office, where in restaurants I am nothing but sweetness and light.
Did get quite cross in
thank you for undermining me the moment I said that. What about you? How
the fuck are you doing?
There was, that's like Rob Brydon's impersonation of
Bruce
Forsyth.
Just while we're waiting.
Yeah?
While we're waiting, I want to point out two things that have slightly annoyed me. The first one...
That I've done?
No, for a change. No, I can't find it now. And basically...
It's going to fall to bits then. Come on, find it.
It's going to fall to bits. Where is my music? Hang on.
Very unlikely to cut stories out of the paper.
I know. I've lost it. So... I've lost the actual piece.
Great. Right.
No, wait. Here it is. Okay. BBC prepares.
So you cut loads and loads of pieces out of paper out of The Guardian, but the story's still in the paper.
The story's still in the paper. Yeah.
Okay, fine. This better be good.
Because I wrote it down. It's actually not very good, but it goes with something else. Okay, so here we go. BBC prepares script in case of winter blackouts. So this is an exclusive front page. They're very pleased with the story. About how the BBC is sort of writing scripts to prepare for...
Well, because it's got this massive, massive space in its archive from where it's been able to finally throw all the Queen stuff away. It's had 50 years of scripts about, I have to tell you today that the Majesty of the Queen has passed away in a terrible parachute accident. Mm. And they've had all the different scenarios which they've had, and they've thrown the whole thing. The BBC has now got just miles of space. So
the public
it up
would
with
be
this.
Advised to use their car radio or battery-powered receivers to listen to emergency broadcasts. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, whatever.
You know what? This is not power cut.
Yes.
Go and plug my radio into the car.
No, go and listen to it in your car.
All right.
It's a good thing that I'm the prepper in this house, isn't it? I'm so desperate to buy a petrol generator, but I know that you'll leave me if one ever arrives on Amazon.
a diesel generator. And what would you do with it apart from blow up the house?
No, plug in my laptop.
So have you ever seen
it? No, very quiet. It's the quietest one on the market.
You've actually looked.
Yeah. It's in my save for later basket on Amazon.
A generator?
Yeah.
Do you understand about like the carbon monoxide poisoning death?
Keep it outside.
With a lead coming into the
house. I haven't bought it. It's just
and
on
the
my...
main thing, so that you'll be able to look shopping online still when everything is so fucked that we have to have a diesel generator on the balcony powering your laptop.
The main thing about this story, which goes with another story, is two kind of things I'm annoyed about. The draft scripts for on-air news bulletins include space for a quote from a cabinet office minister who is given the fictitious name Jose Riera. Why is the fictitious cabinet officer minister...
From Brazil.
From Brazil.
Because the BBC's so woke, they just couldn't bring themselves to write an English name.
Martin Bloggs. They've called him Jose Vieira. Fucking weird. I don't understand what's going on there. This
well,
goes
it's because we've been invaded by Brazil. By Bolsonaro.
And also, there is no acute accent on Jose. So it's Jose Vieira. It should be Jose. And there should be an acute accent on it, but they haven't put the acute accent on the name Jose, which surely has it. So, like, that really, really, really...
Do you know the way to spell Jose?
I do, but the Guardian don't. Oh, good grawny ad. We haven't done that joke yet.
There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer, rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal, to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a few other little bits and pieces.
You don't want to do Sherlock Holmes Museum?
Yes, let's do
okay,
the Sherlock
let's
Holmes
do that,
Museum.
Let's do that, because that's got some legs.
Story!
And your other things will just be tiny little stupid bits that you've seen that are completely irrelevant. To
no, there's the tiger parenting thing.
Yes. Oh, there's got another parenting thing in the paper.
Yes,
today.
There is. Did you? But I pointed it out to you. Don't try and claim it.
No.
The one
no.
about if you nag them about snacking, they'll get fat.
No, this one. I've
there's
got
three.
Children. Yeah, there's
shall
loads.
We park the Sherlock Holmes Museum?
Let's park
shall we go? Home. Shall we investigate the Sherlock Holmes Museum story later.
Later, yes,
okay.
Exactly. Later.
So let's okay, first of all, there was some Belgian research.
Mm-hmm.
Happened to be Belgian University, about we could read it out. Have you got it?
You were supposed to get that one.
Was I meant to get that one?
Yes.
No, I got the I think you've got it. Anyway, it's about oh no, you're quite right. Researchers at the Leuven University, Belgium, have found that children with harsh authoritarian parents are more likely to develop depression. Lead author Dr. Evelyn van Asch said, we discovered, what's a Belgian accent?
Like French.
Oh, we discovered that perceived, but it's got a bit, it should have a bit more Flemish kind of, who's no. famous Belgian? Hercule Poirot.
He sounds fucking French.
You're quite right. We discovered that perceived harsh parenting with physical punishment and psychological manipulation can introduce an additional set of instructions on how a gene is read to become hardwired into the DNA. This does not happen to the same extent as the children. Belgians have discovered that if you're really, really tough tiger parenting, your kid can become depressed. And then
there's another parenting one, and then it's like National Parenting Week.
I gave you the parenting story.
The tiger parents make children depressed.
No, I gave you the pushy parents make them fat. Followers of parents who ban snacks make their children fatter.
You've just read that out, haven't you?
Were you not listening?
No, but what
or was my French
no,
accent?
No, but they're all the
no,
same story.
It's a different. That's the whole point. It's not.
Okay.
The Leuven University in Belgium, they've discovered that if you tiger parents actually hardwire depression into the children's
okay.
DNA. This is from Imperial College London and reveals that children with strict parents grow up fatter. Fatter and depressed.
Wait, hang on. What?
Because they never develop the ability to control their own appetite. So analysis showed that 10,000 British children found that those who grew up in an authoritarian household
yeah.
were more likely to be overweight than those with warm
but
parents.
But this is completely wait, hang on. What university is this?
Imperial College.
And does it mention the World Obesity Federation? Where are all these stories coming from?
The study was presented yesterday at the International Congress on Obesity in Melbourne.
Oh, fine. Okay, so this is the same source because it was too weird. So the Guardian have done it. Children with parents who lack warmth likelier to be obese. Study. Children whose parents lack warmth are more likely to grow up overweight or obese, according to the first study of its kind. Okay, fine. So it's the same story. They've written it in a slightly different way.
They have. But they are two completely different studies and different stories. The Belgium University.
So the Belgian one is
the tiger parenting hardwires depression into the DNA.
Yeah. Parents are bad. So basically, it's a bad week for authoritarian parent because your children will grow up depressed and obese.
But here's the plus side. Yeah. It's really good fun being mean. And locking them in their rooms and or something, no?
The parenting column. Parenting columns are always, what do you do? Because it has to be silly, doesn't it? Because it's you.
So what is the serious thing with that? What is that? There's a very slight dynamic in our family where I sometimes go, oh, there's no discipline in this house.
Oh, God. I mean, expand.
Well,
say that? Why? What makes you say that? When the children say anything ever.
The fuck off! Fuck off! There is no discipline in this house. You shouldn't be allowed to say things like that.
Yes.
No, I'm fucking lovely to those bastard children of mine. And everything's warm and lovely. No, no, no. And it's all great. And then I sometimes feel that sometimes Sam, who's given such free rein, because Kitty is not a problem, will behave so badly.
Yeah.
Last night he was being an absolute tosser when we came in from school. He was so annoyed about discovering that we might go away on holiday next year to America, scrimping our pennies together. We might go to stay with some friends in LA. And he's so furious that we're taking him there to get shot because he's read so much about the gun laws that he's like really fucking angry now. And he then kicked off and he wouldn't eat his... He had an issue with the food and...
No, he didn't. I see, this is my immediate.
And I'm thinking, he needed a bit of fucking discipline.
So this is in real time, our parenting. You saying, Sam was, being disrespectful, badly behaved and rude. And me saying, he's just fucking hungry and tired
after school. Then he ate two crumpets and then was just as much of a bastard afterwards.
No, he wasn't. He was sweetness and light and said, thank you for being so nice to me, mummy. And I nearly cried. Should we move on?
Yes, I've worked to different spouses.
Ideally. So, the next...
There's the Sherlock Holmes Museum.
The mysterious case of the Sherlock Holmes Museum, yeah.
Okay, so the Sherlock Holmes Museum, there is a cutting somewhere. Tell me.
Yes, I think I'm sure I've got it. Okay,
this is my dream to, like, we've got a sort of running order.
Yeah.
And it's a bit where we can actually say what the stories are. It's the 2.5 million... case of the Sherlock Holmes Museum. Jonathan Ames, legal editor. I mean, any sub who sees Sherlock Holmes in the thing is going to go for it. The first paragraph, it would be enough to send the great Victorian detective for a long lie down in an opium den, he says. Really hamming it up there. A family has been, you know how they always say with Geoffrey Archer? They'll say something like, in a twist worthy of one of his famous novels, Archer has got a parking ticket. And you go, listen, have you read one of his novels? It's like they're a bit shit, but it's not worthy of a place in one of his novels.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, anyway. So a family has spent £2.5 million in court battles over the proceeds of the Sherlock Holmes Museum. Now the boss of the London attraction is locked in a high court fight with his younger brother over the £1 million house that has been his sibling's home for 25 years.
Above the shop.
You think the Sherlock Holmes Museum, and I thought it must be some different Sherlock Holmes Museum. Yeah. It can't be that one that you see from the number 82 bus, doesn't go down Oxford Street anymore, the 113.
88.
The 88 goes down, wherever you are. That thing where you go past this teeny little, and there it is a picture of it, this little green shop.
And there's always some poor bastard actor
standing outside with a magnifying glass.
Yeah, with a cape.
And a really soggy deerstalker hat. And you think, you know, who has ever been inside the Sherlock Holmes Museum? How can it be worth fighting a £2.5 million court battle over it? The museum, which opened in 1989, has brought in millions of pounds as it attracts hordes of tourists to see the, quote, gaslit world of London's iconic detective. It's a tiny, tiny shop, which...
There's going to be one kind of really old, like one of those really scary waxworks in a corner that's listing slightly at an angle.
With a melted hand.
With a melted hand and his eyes crossed and like the deerstalkers are slightly askew.
And on a stand, a really dusty pipe.
Yeah.
Not actually a meerschaum, owned by an Arthur Conan Boyle,
yeah,
who was a friend of the author.
And, replica of... And this is the kind of pipe that he might have smoked had he been a real person, which he wasn't. He was completely...
And there'll be... What was the housekeeper called? Mrs. Hudson. And there'll be a little sort of dusty counter with Mrs. Hudson's pies on it, and people will be able to buy for £49 a slice of...
I bet you that about 50, over half of the visitors to the Sherlock Holmes Museum won't understand that he's a fictional character. They will think he's a real person.
Coaches and coaches of Chinese tourists mm-hmm. will be queued up doing selfies and stuff outside based on having seen the
reboot with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Probably that, or the one with Jonathan... What's his name? No, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, oh, I love that
one. Quite good, weren't they, Robert Downey Jr.? Or the one with Meitei and the Asian American actress in America,
I
you know?
Don't know what you're talking
you
about.
You do. The one with the one I mean, it's called like Clue or Found.
Yeah,
or
right. Lucy Liu and...
Exactly, yeah. There you go. Anyway, and it's the premises at 221B Baker Street. And actually, there was no 221B Baker Street.
No, that's why he called it 221B
yes, exactly.
Baker Street.
So it's actually not. It's like... It's next to 221, so it's obviously 223 Baker. Anyway, and I thought, so if one were to write about, first of all, a couple of paragraphs about how shit the Sherlock Holmes Museum is and no one can, and then the other, you know, one could write about other shit attractions, because who's ever been to, Ben, have you ever been to the Sherlock Holmes Museum? If you say, if you,
oh,
have,
you have. Is it quite good? No,
fucking
no,
hell.
It's not.
I was going to say, Ben, you haven't been, have you? Don't say yes, because that'll fuck the whole... Okay, yeah. So that's fine. Ben Mitchell, the only man who's ever been to the Sherlock Holmes Museum. I went to the Dickens one, and it was brilliant. Dickens actually lived there.
Oh, yeah, you had a
Dickens,
good time, yeah.
Took Kitty there, 4 or 5 stories, Georgian house, library. Dickens' actual, like, crockery on the table.
Yeah.
It was fucking amazing. But so Sherlock Holmes... And anyway, my point is made by no Londoner has ever been to the Sherlock Holmes Museum. Where are you from, Ben? It's like Warwickshire or somewhere, isn't it? Yeah. There we go. Stratford. Bet you haven't been to Shakespeare's birthplace.
We're going to a Christmas carol at the RSC, Stratford-upon-Avon. Excited. It's going to be good.
We are. But yeah. Also, we're going to the Rick Astley gig.
Yeah, can't wait for that.
We're going to laugh, the man who goes to Sherlock Holmes Museum. We are going to this Rick Astley gig. I did mention it very briefly in the notebook. We're going to... do you know how to say a Rick Astley gig? I'm saying gig like Prince Charles.
It's the only gig
I've never been to one. Yeah,
yeah, neither have I.
And we're going on about the 20th of December, and it's like... Rick Astley's Swing Christmas. And the only reason for going is because our kids got into the ancient Rick Rolling craze, and so Never Gonna Give You Up is their favourite song. And then I paid for a... Shall I say how much?
Because no,
I
don't. Extra,
but I can.
Don't. No,
can
don't.
I get,
it's horrific.
It's about the same as your car. It's for a box, because I know that my daughter will immediately want to lie down and go to sleep as soon as we arrive. She'll be able to do that in a box.
Yeah.
And Sam wants to play on his DVD.
Yeah. And read a book. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and
there are going to be some longers.
There's going to be the whole thing until he sings Never Gonna Give You Up. And then we realise it's called Rick Astley's Swing Christmas. And there's a little quote I noticed on the ticket thing when they sent it. I'm really looking forward to singing these old songs. I love them. You go, yeah, these old songs and Never Gonna Give You Up. Yeah. And Never Gonna Give You Up.
Yeah, fine. Do Fly Me to the Moon, but also do... And we cannot get to the bottom of whether he's going to actually sing
it. And I wrote a column about it, and not a column, I had a tiny item in my notebook. And Rick clearly is not a times reader. He hasn't got in touch. Don't worry, Jiley. We'll be singing it. Don't worry.
Yeah, God damn it.
Yeah.
Just call us. Just call us.
Yeah. And
We'll still come. We'll still come, but just call us. Yeah, of course. There's bowl food.
Is there?
Yeah, we get served like a dinner in our, because we got a box, because we were drunk, basically.
We were just drunk. We got back drunk, decided one last glass of wine before bed, opened the paper,
yeah.
Sunday Times, culture section, flipping
you
through.
Rick
Astley at the, what's it called, the Albert Hall?
Yeah,
never been there.
Yeah.
Box.
And also, all the other plays and theatre things that I would normally go and see to the kids, they're all of them are too expensive. So what we've done is like basically spend all of the money on... Everything
you also
else
can't get into anything. All the pandas are sold
all
out.
Gone, yeah,
the only thing you can get is a box at Rick Astley singing
and we aren't never going to give you up. We got the last box.
Do you think?
Yeah, I know. I booked the fucking tickets. I know there was one box left, and we've got it. It's a good box, but it was the last box. Yeah.
And if there isn't, if he doesn't sing Never Gonna Give You Up, I'm going to kick off like James Corden.
Well, the thing is,
the
whole audience is going to burn the place down. So it's
there'll be a sort of Never Gonna Give You Up.
Yeah, exactly.
Sherlock Holmes Museum.
Okay, other shit things that Londoners have never been to.
So have you ever been to Madame Tussauds?
I have, but I was taking around my German exchange. in my defence, I would never have been to it if I wasn't taking around Charlotte, wherever her name was.
I was taken by my grandparents in about 1976.
Yes.
And I remember it being shit even then. But no, well, okay, fine.
You were a cantankerous little bastard even then.
Yeah, extraordinary. Have you ever been to...
Have you ever seen the Crown Jewels? Excuse me. That was the first cough I've done this whole podcast,
wasn't
by
cough,
the way.
It was a horrible, gurgly clip. No, you're quite right, it was. It was. Have I ever seen the... the Crown...
It's so mean.
No, I have never seen the...
Did you take the kids to the Tower of London?
But the queue for the Crown Jewels was too long.
Okay.
So we got to the Tower of London and Kitty said, can we go for a cheeseburger? And I said, but I've just given them £178.
Yeah.
So we went and looked at bits of the London Wall that you can see on the outside.
Oh,
anyway.
Cool.
So no, we didn't go and see that. I'll be totally honest, when I worked at the Times in Wapping in the early days in 94, which was right next to the Tower of London, which is where the are kept. I think I went round on a sort of Tuesday morning on my own when I wasn't writing a feature.
And still a massive queue.
I remember it was £26. I remember that was really annoying. In 1994, that was like a lot.
That's a shitload.
That was a shitload. I can't remember what they look like. They're a bit shiny. But I mean, have you ever been inside St. Paul's?
Cathedral?
Yeah.
No.
Nor have I. Have you ever been up into the Whispering Gallery?
No, but I took Sam, because he was obsessed with St. Paul's Cathedral for some random reason when he was about four. And I took him, but we didn't go in. I don't know why we didn't go in.
What did you do?
I think I said, do you want to go in, Sam? And he went, no. He said, I want to go home now. And so I went, all right. And we got on the bus and came back.
Do you see what I mean? No discipline. Inside your
family.
Ben, have you been inside St. Paul's? Yeah. Have you been up to the Whispering Gallery? Is it true that if you whisper something in a corner, you can hear on the other side? Yeah. Shit, he's doing the round and round motion that shows that it works.
Okay, so
neither of us have ever been to St. Paul's or Whispering Gallery. Yeah?
Have you been to an Angus Steakhouse?
No.
Have you been on a big bus tour?
No.
I have. I went with Kitty. Kitty lay down and fell asleep.
I've taken Kitty to the Thames Barrier on a boat twice and she slept there and back same time.
Yeah, she sleeps there.
Can we go? Can I have a chocolate?
Yeah, she wants a nap. It's fine. It's
okay.
Right.
Have you ever been to the London Dungeon?
That was on my list as well. No.
No. Have you been? Ben's been everywhere. He comes in from Stratford.
Yeah.
He comes from a town where they have Shakespeare's birthplace and he arrives and said, right, who was born here? What can I go and see? You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. You can listen to us on the Times Radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.